The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I'm enjoying the music, but then I am a classic rock chick.
But we knew that. There was no doubt in my mind that you were going to enjoy that music. As it came on, I thought, Rolien. The other thing that made me think, Rolien, was breaking news on the Times of Israel. Malka Leifer, the accused pedophile, being found fit to stand trial.
Yes, this is a very, very welcome decision. She's now, she has been found able to stand trial, and I think this will accelerate her extradition, there's such a word,
yes.
Her extradition to Australia. I think this will significantly heal the tension between Israel and Australia, but only on this issue, because on other issues we are very, very copacetic.
Yes.
But this is something that I know the Australian Jewish community have been wanting for a very long time. It certainly has been welcomed by them. And let's hope that there will be justice for those who were victims.
Absolutely. Very importantly. And it's been justice delayed, that is for sure. But that seems to be over now at last. Rolien, you're also going to update us on the reaction in Israel to the Trump speech on Iran last night.
Well, it was quite an extraordinary speech. Some pundits saying that this is one of the first times that they've heard the president sounding extremely presidential. So let's take a look at what he said. He basically came out of the gate mentioning that one thing that the United States will not allow, and that is a nuclear Iran. He reiterated the fact that Iranian missiles were fired at various American installations, that there were no casualties. One of the modus operandi of Iran and other proxy terror organizations is to try and claim a high casualty rate, a high fatality rate. President Trump said there were no casualties, not on the American side or the Iranian side. And he spoke quite a few times. He spoke about American military might, but also American economic power. He also was quite emphatic to say that the people of Iran, the citizens of Iran, deserve a better future. They deserve a bright future. They deserve to live without the pervasive specter of war. He also spoke, and this is what I found a very, very interesting takeaway. He spoke about the impact of Iran's hegemony on the region, and he mentioned Arab states by name, but he didn't mention Israel, which I thought was quite interesting. It's no secret that the Trump administration is a great supporter of Israel, perhaps one of the greatest administrative supporters of Israel. But what we didn't hear last night in his speech was any comment on the fact that Iran poses a major threat to Israel, and that Israel is in a state of high security in case we are dragged into this fray. However, we did have Prime Minister Netanyahu over the last couple of days first addressing his cabinet by saying, you know, it's an American issue. We don't want to get dragged or involved in it. But then yesterday reiterating the fact that if Iran attacks Israel, that Iran will pay a harsh price, a sentiment that was echoed by Benny Gantz, the leader of Kahol V'Lavan, who's also the former IDF chief of staff, who said that not only would Iran pay a very, very heavy price, but the IDF is the strongest army in the region.
Was there some sort of a collective sigh of relief in Israel yesterday that tensions appear to be you're listening somewhat?
Well, while President Trump said the Iranians appear to have taken a step back, and unfortunately we are the experts in dealing with this regime and their terrorist proxies. So for us, we kind of accept the fact that this is a regime that, if they're not threatening you, there's more to worry about the silence.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say there was a collective sigh of relief. I think that we are extremely, extremely vigilant and cautious as we move forward.
Okay. Let's talk about Code Pink being named as co-founders of the Women's March. Not that I know much about Code Pink. Inform me.
Well, this is very, very interesting. This is a story that broke yesterday, and that is that anti-Israel group Code Pink is listed as co-founders or co-creators for the annual Women's March. Now, why this is so newsworthy is, first of all, the Women's March has taken a lot of criticism since their inception for anti-Semitism. The original founders, Linda Sarsour, everybody's familiar with Linda Sarsour, Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, have all been supporters of people like Louis Farrakhan. They've refused to condemn his anti-Semitic statements. In fact, Tamika Mallory referred to him as the GOAT, the greatest of all times. The Women's March has also taken a lot of criticism for alienating or disenfranchising women who identify as Zionist, as pro-Israel. One of the like breakaway groups, the Dark March in Chicago, told marchers that they were not allowed to march with their rainbow flag with the Magen David on because the Magen David was seen as a sign of oppression. In fact, Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Sarsour had to step down because of accusations of anti-Semitism, as well as others like fund mismanagement. They then replaced them with a person called Zara Bilou. Zara Bilou, who was hired on the Monday and summarily dismissed on the Wednesday because she also came out with anti-Semitic tweets. So, you know, just when we think that the Women's March have kind of, you know, corrected course, now comes the statement that Code Pink are their co-creators. Now, Code Pink, some of you might be familiar with Ariel Gold. She's all over Twitter. She's notoriously anti-Israel. But Code Pink, some of you may be familiar with some of the images of them at the Kotel with big signs saying we support a boycott of Israel, which is such a flagrantly disrespectful thing to do at the holiest Jewish site. There's also a very famous picture of one of their activists wearing a string vest at the Kotel, which is also extremely disrespectful. But why they are so topical is their defense of the Iranian nuclear program, as well as supporting BDS and supporting Hamas as well. So it looks like just when you think that the Women's March
Fixed itself and goes backwards,
heading in the right direction, they take a significant step backwards.
And kind of related to that is the story coming out of the press today when it just gets worse and worse. Five teens commit sexual assault and anti-Semitic assault on a man in Berlin. Really?
You know, somebody said to me this morning, what kind of generation is being raised? The perpetrators of this were between the ages of 12 and 15.
Oh no.
Just take that in for a second. The second big issue is that this is the second physical attack in Berlin this week. In fact, the Berlin police released information about this particular attack, which is also, it gets even worse, Simon, because the 68-year-old gentleman was on Putlitz. The Putlitz Plaza is the site of the deportation of about 32,000 Jews from Berlin. They reportedly grabbed him between the legs. They sexually assaulted him. They grabbed him between the legs and while screaming at him, Jew and other anti-Semitic type of insults. And, we're in an era where anti-Semitism is rising alarmingly, and the scary thing is, I mean, I don't think it's the only scary thing, but that the perpetrators are getting younger and younger, and the attacks are getting more and more violent.
Rolene, we were going to do a good news story, but Hachamor has weighed in, and I just think what a listener wants to know is perhaps more important. So if you could very quickly address his quick query to you, could I ask, what do you, Rolene, think about the Nissan boss, Gohan, who visited Israel in 2008, being made to pay for it in Lebanon?
Well, it's no surprise when I saw that headline. It's always a pleasure to address questions from listeners. Hello, Khamor. It's no surprise. There are entities within Lebanon that are extremely anti-Israel. I'm really not shocked at this at all, but then it just goes to show you the kind of attitude that is that they have towards Israel and towards somebody like this who has visited, and it hasn't been made clear what his intentions here were.
Okay. I might go into that in a little bit more detail a little later. But fortunately, that's where we leave it, Rolene. Shabbat shalom to you. And as always, thank you for all your input throughout the week. It's been awesome.
Shabbat shalom. And I'll catch you on Monday. Same time, same place.
You got it. We will.